The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." This is the reading of God's word. Dear Christian friends, what would make you happy? Ask that question of a four-year-old, and he'd probably tell you all about some exciting new toy that's just come to the market. Ask a pastor, and he'll probably tell you that it would be really nice and it would make him really happy to see more of the members in church every Sunday. Now, our Lord knows what makes each one of us happy. But even more important, the Heavenly Father knows what you need. God's not going to put instant gratification ahead of what we really need in life. But in every case, whatever God gives us, we know that it's always going to be something that is good for us. Our Bible text for this morning certainly does not deal with everything that human beings need. For one thing, we're looking at a point in history when the world was perfect. There was no need for the forgiveness of sins at this point when God is dealing with Adam as the lone human being. In fact, in this text, there's only one thing that God sees that a human being would generally need: having a suitable companion for Adam. In the newly created paradise, that seems to be at the top of the list of what humans need. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Now, granted, in our world today, you can probably find single adults in just about any community. But remember that Adam was all alone in a world that was perfect. God still had something to create to make that perfect world complete. In this perfect world, God had determined that it was not good for the man to be alone. Just think, if Adam was all alone, who could stimulate him to think higher thoughts? If Adam was all alone, who could occupy his mind in conversation? Well, Adam could communicate with God, of course, and walked in the garden with God and conversed with him. It wasn't quite the same as having somebody face to face with whom he could communicate. But not just anything or even anyone would be good enough to take care of the problem of loneliness which God was seeing in Adam. God didn't just mindlessly zap together some instant companion and push it off in the general direction of Adam in the Garden of Eden. God said, "I will make a helper suitable for him." And literally, suitable for him means something that would correspond to Adam. In other words, it would be a companion who would be a good match for Adam. Adam's suitable helper, therefore, would have an eternal soul, just like Adam did. This corresponding helper would be created holy in the image of God, just like Adam was. And yet, for all of the correspondence in those two points, notice that God didn't just make a clone of Adam to be Adam's suitable helper. Adam wouldn't be the happiest that he could be with just a good buddy. God knew Adam would be happiest if he had a corresponding female companion as his wife. Let me ask a question of you. Do you believe that God knows what he's doing? Now, I want to expand on that a little bit, especially in regard to this particular Bible text, but let me ask the question again in terms of you being in the sixth round as a congregation of calling a new pastor. Do you still believe when you're on number six that God knows what he's doing? We pray that we do. Because as Christians, we know that God never gives us any answer to prayer that is a bad thing. I ask again, in regard to this particular Bible text, do you believe that God knows what he is doing? The fact is, God was setting a precedent here. No matter how hard people might try to make us believe otherwise, God's pattern and plan is for one man and one woman to provide companionship for each other within an exclusive relationship called marriage. Therefore, homosexual relationships are not part of God's plan. Neither are relationships which involve one woman and one man, but no marriage. God didn't start things that way. And he has continued to tell us through Scripture that it is actually sinful to try to change his pattern. Now that God's creation has been ruined through Adam and Eve's sin, of course, things are a little bit different. We do find today that people oftentimes find themselves better off alone. They don't mind being single. And God certainly allows that option for us. But St. Paul found himself content not having a suitable corresponding female companion in his life. But St. Paul did not immediately conclude from that that God must have created him gay. Nor did Paul go out and think to himself, you know, I'm not sure about this whole thing. Maybe I should try some kind of a trial relationship with a suitable companion before marrying her. Paul didn't do any of those things. He simply concluded that God had given him the ability to remain single and to remain happy all of the time. Now, if we find ourselves not agreeing with that, if we find ourselves living in some other pattern than what God has given us, realize that Christ our Savior went to the cross also for those sins. God has declared sin forgiven, and he offers that forgiveness to us through faith in Jesus, so that when we disagree with God's plans, nonetheless we find that our Lord still will accept us for Jesus' sake, washed clean and sins forgiven. St. Paul might well have thought that he was better off alone, but that's not the way Adam felt. And what God did in Adam's case to get him to see his need shows how important our human happiness is to God. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to Adam to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. For Adam, life all alone in the Garden of Eden was a busy thing. For one thing, Adam was asked to observe all the different life forms on earth, and after observing them, giving them an appropriate or maybe even descriptive name. Not that God was unable to give names to all those creatures, but God honored Adam and gave him an important role of things to do while he was living in Eden. And in the process, it let Adam take note of something else. For Adam, no suitable helper was found. But God didn't force a companion on Adam without even giving him a choice. Adam could see that he would be better off if he had a companion that was more like him than God was. So once Adam saw the need for such a companion, God swung into action and created one because he wanted Adam to have happiness in life. And the success of God's creative effort is apparent from Adam's conclusion, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." So there is no question in Adam's mind. God hit the target perfectly with the woman that he had created and brought to Adam as his wife. And what a blessing it was for Adam that he could see this all on his own as the need became apparent and as the need was fulfilled by God. It's not so different from something else that happened during creation. Adam and Eve were not forced to obey God as they lived in the Garden of Eden. They were told the consequences of what would occur if they did disobey that one command, "Do not eat from the tree that's in the center of the garden." They were also shown daily the blessings that God intended for them when they did obey God. But then they were left with the freedom to love God and to show God that love by obeying him, or to love themselves more and obey their own desires. It's still the same for us as Christians. We are free to take note of how well God takes care of us and loves us. We are free to note how God forgives our sins day after day without complaining. We are free to note all of that and show our response in loving obedience to God. We can see everything he's planned for us as our life unfolds. We can see the benefits of believing in his Son, Jesus Christ, and we can't help but respond joyfully and willingly, going along with God's plan. God knew exactly how to make and carry out those plans too, so that they will fulfill our needs first and foremost, but of course many times also take care of our happiness. There were four distinct steps to what God did here for Adam. First, he stepped directly into the working of nature and miraculously created another human being. The Lord God said, "I will make a helper suitable for him." Second step, God created this new human in a very unique way so that Adam's new partner would be especially suitable for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. Third step, then God brought her to the man. Wasn't anything fancy as far as we know, but it was a marriage. Step four, and then God saw to it that the new couple was blessed with a very special relationship which was meant only for marriage. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Adam and Eve would not only have a very special way to experience happiness and pleasure with one another as one flesh, but in the process, they would also be able to have children together as a result of that pleasure. How foolish we human beings are if we think that we can come up with better ideas than God can. Some people think they'll be freer and happier if they skip the marriage part. Others think they can be happier if they find a different kind of partner than God created in the opposite sex. Still others hear God calling Eve a helper and forget that God uses that very same Hebrew word, adzer, to describe his relationship with us, his children. Therefore, it's not a put down when God calls the wife a helper suitable for her husband. If we are ever guilty of such thoughts or actions, let's remember that God has already declared such sins forgiven because of Jesus' death and his resurrection. And then in faith, let's treasure these tremendous blessings that God has designed into this type of companionship, a marriage companionship. Whether we are married and firsthand enjoy that marriage companionship, or whether we are single and experience blessings through our married friends, or whether we are children blessed through the companionship enjoyed by our parents, we will want to believe that God really knows what he has designed and will always give you blessings through what he has decided is good. Amen.